Gang, for over a year now, I've been talking about True Hemp Science Full Spectrum CBD oils and how they've reduced my anxiety and helped me get better sleep without waking up feeling foggy and confused. I've also talked about the Full Spectrum CBD balms that relieved my hand pain last year and made playing piano and guitar much easier. Well, gang, today I'm going to tell you about True Hemp Science organic gummies made with Full Spectrum hemp oil that are available now. They come in two different gauges. There are 50 milligram ones that have 50 milligrams of CBD and 1.5 milligrams of THC. Then there are ones that are 100 milligrams of CBD and 5 milligrams of THC. Absolutely delicious lemon lime slash orange flavors and also watermelon black cherry flavors. Super, super delicious. Now, they also have a complete line of full spectrum CBD products, including oils, tinctures, skincare lotions, sports rubs, chocolates, gummies, all kinds of stuff. Well, gang, How Did I Get Here has teamed up with True Hemp Science to bring you a very special offer that benefits all of us. Spend $100 or more at truehempscience.com and you will get a free gift. Just enter the code HDIGH at checkout. There's a little code place there for you to enter it, HDIGH, and you will get a free gift with purchase. That's right. Go to truehempscience.com and balance your body and mind with True Hemp Science. Let's get down. Johnny, I am your host and welcome to the show. I want to thank you for listening to the show because I know there's a bazillion podcasts out there. You could be out there listening to anything you want, but the fact that you've chosen to listen to this one means a lot to me, and it also shows you have great taste. I hope you guys all had a great weekend, whatever you did this weekend. I had a really good weekend. Really good weekend. First of all, I want to thank everyone that came out to that Skyrocket show on Friday because our show on Friday at 3:10 was sold out, and I want to thank everyone that bought a ticket and came to that show and made it sold out. It is great to sell out a show at a venue like 3:10 in your hometown. Feels great, but also when your hometown's Austin and there's at least 700 other things going on that are dire and important to other people, to be able to sell out a show feels really good. So thank you to everyone that came. We had a great time. It was so weird playing all those songs, man. I'll tell you what we did, because last week I wasn't talking about the songs. If you missed it, we did these weird songs like Love Will Keep Us Together. Don't Go Breaking My Heart by Elton John and Kiki Dee. Now, I can't remember any song we played. But the big one was we did Stairway to Heaven, and I did all of the Mellotron flutes and the electric piano stuff, which is a lot to learn. But it went very well. Like, we pulled it off. We did Stairway to Heaven in a pretty much as note for note as you can do it. And we did it and we pulled it off and it was pretty much a success on that level. Having said that, when you play a song like Stairway to Heaven, you realize how polarizing it is. Like, some people were like, they could not believe that we were playing that song and it was blowing their fucking minds. And some other people could not believe we were playing that song because they're like, why would you play that song at a fun time party? And anyway, we did it and it was really fun. And even though it was polarizing, people seemed to enjoy it and thought we did a good job. It was a good time. It was a good time. Then Saturday, I went to Houston and me and Rosie packed it up, went to Houston in the morning, and Skyrocket played a wedding there. That was a completely different experience because a sold out show where people bought tickets to see your band and they're all excited and they made plans. They got babysitters. They got Ubers. They had dinner. They made a night of it. The response from that crowd is intense, man. It's like, I can't get enough of you. But then when you go play a wedding the next night and you're kind of the band over there on the side playing, the response is really different. I mean, people liked it, but they were there at a wedding and seeing their friends. They didn't buy tickets to a Skyrocket show. They just went to a wedding. So it was interesting having those two dichotomies. And if you listen to Friday's show where I talked to Scott Strickland about how when you're a professional working musician, and you're not just like in U2 or something, not like that's a thing, but U2 or Bruce Springsteen, and you're just doing that thing all the time. When you're a professional working musician at sort of like the working class level, you're always doing weird stuff. Like one night you're playing a sold out show, the next night these people could, you know, you could, it could have been a guy spinning records and they would have been just as happy. But anyway, we had a good time. It was great. I ended up spending Sunday with my family, my Uncle Chuck, my Aunt Christina, my Aunt Olga, and my grandma, and all the dogs. And we just kind of hung out. We watched some movies, took naps, made dinner, made great shrimp in the air fryer. I'm gonna get an air fryer. Yeah, I think I'm going to do it next week. And I'm going to start doing air fryer recipes because I am almost, it's almost like pornography to me at this point. Like looking, I'm serious. Like I go through my Instagram and I just sit there and look at people making reels of people making air fryer recipes. And I make notes and I save them and I don't have an air fryer. And then I go to my grandma's house and I'm there for one day and they're like, hell, let's make something in the air fryer. And I'm like, you know, like when you're a little kid and someone takes you to Toys R Us and they're like, pick out one thing. You're like, how can I do that? All of the things are here. And so I'm looking through my reels on Sunday, freaking out like, let's do this. No, let's do this. No, let's do this. So finally, one of my aunts was like, hey, I've got shrimp. I got like 2 pounds of shrimp. Let's do that. And so we got a shrimp recipe, made it, and it was great. That having said that, if you have an air fryer and you get into using it, why don't you send me some recipes? Tell me what you're working on. You can follow me on Instagram. I'm at Johnny Gowdy. Also on Twitter, I'm at Johnny Gowdy. You can also like our Facebook page, How Did I Get Here? You will see photos of all the guests that are on the show. You'll get updates. You'll get random posts that I do, photos of Rosie, all kinds of stuff. Like our Facebook page. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at Johnny Gowdy. Gang, I've got a great show for you today. A fantastic show, man. My old friend, Brittany Lobus, who's been on the show before a couple of times, first with her band Nomad City and then with her band Corbella. She, during the pandemic, she took that time to go solo. She went solo. Yeah, that's right. So Brittany Lobus is a solo artist. You might have seen her. She's been putting out singles for the last couple of years. Be the One, fantastic single. String arrangement, the little string thing in the intro, I love it so much. The song Hollow came out last fall, and she is releasing a third single that sounds like a Latin pop track, but it's sung in English. And we actually talked about rewriting it in Spanish. She sent me the lyrics. I need to work on that this week. Marina, the single drops April 7th, and she is celebrating with a release show at Pershing on April 8th. All right. So at Pershing, Austin on April 8th, you can go to BrittanyLobus.com for all your Brittany Lobus needs. We have a really, really great conversation. It gets very heavy. Brittany's gone through some heavy shit over the last year. She had to quit drinking and partying so much because it started to kill her pancreas, which was going to kill her at some point. She figured all that out when her mom had some health problems, and she went up to Ohio, to Cleveland, Ohio, where she's from, to be with her family. And then she realized that she was sick with something. She tells the whole story. It's very intense, man. But Brittany's life has changed since that happened. I think it's been 9 months. I think when she was here, it was her nine month anniversary of sobriety. So congratulations, Brittany. She's thriving. She looks great. She sounds great. These songs are fantastic. She's really exploring her writing styles and collaborations and things that she's doing with people. So it's really, really awesome. Brittany Lobus is a fantastic artist, great singer. She's like she's a firehouse. She's like one of those, you know, like a huge personality on stage with like a big voice, and she's there, man. She's in your face. I love those kind of performers. Fearless. Brittany Lobus, fearless performer, fearless artist. Great conversation. Hey, also fearless person, by the way, because it does take a lot to quit partying. And let me tell you something. We were drinking buddies. There were a couple of nights Brittany and I had to like put away some vodka. Like, I'm not joking, man. There were times I'd see her and be like, oh, no. I can't do the whole thing today. And I'm sure she was saying the same thing when she saw me too, because like somehow our energy was like, hey, where's the vodka? Let's go. I think there was one of the podcasts, either Nomad City or Corbella. One of them we drank during the podcast. Like, I just made drinks for us and we just got drunk during the podcast. So anyway, this is a very sober and very good conversation. It's very positive. It goes through some intense times. I felt like I was getting choked up at times because when you're seeing your friend explain what they've gone through, sometimes it's an incredible emotional thing, you know, incredibly emotional. Great conversation. Me and Brittany Lobus chatting it up. Enjoy it. Let's get down. Marina, you're making a fool.
You greet me with a smile.
was going through, I don't like, okay, I'm going to say this song, Marina.
Yeah.
Great song. What is that
Thank
beat
you.
Called? Why am I drawing a blank?
What like, is the beat
there's
called?
A beat. It's like a gong. Like there's like a, it's a different sort of groove to it than.
That's a really good question. Latin pop?
That's what I felt like.
Yeah.
It had like a, I was going to say reggaeton, but it's not reggaeton.
Yeah, like kind of like Latin
pop. It could be in a mix of that music.
Though. Yeah.
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 Is that something you're exploring now? Because all three of these singles are different.
I know.
They're
all
real
really
different.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Be the One, I think I was kind of just trying something.
That one, like the strings and shit on there, they're totally up my alley. Like that's a,
yeah.
That's a kid. Who did that? Who'd you do that with?
Garrett J. Brown.
Oh.
Are you familiar with him?
No, he's
no.
good though.
Yeah, he was in a band called Jam Therapy and then The Matters.
I know who Jam Therapy is.
Yeah. They so I know they were Austin Music Foundation's Artist of the Month like years ago, like 2016.
1912 or something.
Yeah.
Like then? That's where I know their name. That's where I know their name
yeah,
is.
Yeah, so he's the lead.
On the
he was
wall
the lead singer.
In the thing.
Yeah. Okay. So he's okay. the he was the lead singer of that band, and then they changed their name.
Not a good name.
Jam Therapy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's probably why they
that's
changed
why I remember
it.
The name.
So they changed it to The Matters, and then you know, due to COVID and everything, he kind of went a solo route, as I did, and then we just started writing a bunch of songs together, and that was the first song that he kind of produced, and then we did Hollow.
That one's really good too.
Thanks.
That one to me is more consistent with who I know Britney as. Like, that
right.
seems like the that's, next step for Britney.
Yeah.
The other one was like, whoa.
Where did this
like,
come from? That's honestly, that's kind of how I feel too.
You know what I mean? Because your bands were more rock and roll,
yeah.
and this one has, almost like a KT Tunstall
yes,
kind of
I'm
jam.
Always into like that cinematic kind of big epic sounds.
Yeah. I like that, the starkness though, of like where it's just the beat and you singing. Like, that's pretty
that.
Cool.
Yeah. Bishop Briggs kind of inspired that because I was listening to a lot of Bishop Briggs. I don't know if you're familiar with her. River, that song River, Run Me Like a River.
No.
If you heard it, you'd probably know it, but yeah.
It's funny, about an hour ago, I'd been listening to your songs and stuff, and then I just went to Spotify on my phone, and there's a new feature where there's an AI DJ that knows how you feel about things.
Really? That's cool.
And it comes on and talks to you like, hey, Johnny, this is so-and-so. I'm your AI DJ. And it's cool because I don't like, I'm safe. I just program music. I don't handle like the electricity in your house. Like, it gives you all this kind of like warning shit. I'm already like, I've gotten like a little bit, I don't know how you feel about AI, but I'm getting like a little freaked out about it.
Yeah, I a little bit. Yes, for sure. I talk about it all the time because I'll be like talking about something and then like, I need to buy a new mattress, right? And then I was talking about it.
My Google thing. Yeah, I know what you're talking
about.
Yeah,
and then on my phone, it's just like mattresses are everywhere.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, wow, it's like listening all the time. And then I was talking to somebody and they were like, yeah, I don't even say it out loud. I just like think about something and then it just pops up on my phone. And I'm like,
I haven't had that happen yet, but that's gonna.
I don't know if they were just being sarcastic.
I hope so.
Yeah, I'm like, that's really scary.
It can't be that far off though.
I know.
You know what I mean?
I know.
Like, it's
like,
not,
I'm not,
it
so I'm
be.
Like, I'm just going to think about something and I'm not going to say it. And I'm going to think about it for like a week straight. And then I'm going to see
yeah.
it just pops up on my phone.
Yeah.
But I can't say what it is. I'm still waiting.
Okay. So
but what if it did? I'm just saying.
So it went on and tried to play me some music and it was like, I have nothing against Bonnie Raitt, but like, what world are you thinking that that's what I'm wanting to listen to today?
Really?
Mr. AI guy. I think his
Jeez.
Name was Scott or something. He had like a normal name. Hey, it's me, Scott. Johnny, how you doing? It's your phone talking to you. I know what you like.
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't know who that lady is, but maybe if I listen to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I should find out who she is.
Yeah, she's great.
Who did this new Marina single?
So Garrett actually produced
okay.
this one.
Okay.
This was more up his alley, I feel like. Kind of the Latin pop, funky sort of vibe. And him and Cole Burris mixed it, and then Taylor Webb mastered it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Taylor
Webb, he works with like...
Terra Nova? No.
I don't know. He works with like Prima the Alien and Dossie and that sort of...
That's another question I was going to ask you, is that it? You went from like rock band
mm-hmm.
person, because when you first started coming on the show, you
Nomad
were in Nomad City.
Yep. And then Corbella.
Mm-hmm. And these were just like basically like rock bands, but
right.
like Nomad City was like almost like a classic rock band. Then
yep.
Corbella was like a modern rock band.
Right.
And then here you are.
I know. I feel like I've been trying to kind of find, like, honestly, I've been kind of just playing with different sounds and trying to figure out like what sound I really want.
Yeah.
So Be The One was really like, I want to do pop. And then, I don't know, I just have like rock in my roots. I can't really help it. So I kind of just feel like pop rock, rock pop, you know, it's just kind of intertwined.
Well, there's also like, I mean, why like
put a label on it?
Yeah. Do you need to? I mean, really. Also, like now you don't have to do some album statement trip. You really can do like a song you want to, like you write a song and it's weird.
Yeah.
Put it out. You know what I mean? Just like, are you a pretty prolific writer? I mean, is there, because there's three songs in like 3 years.
Yeah. I have a lot of songs.
Cost money to make them.
Yeah, it does. That's the only thing. So I have a bunch of songs. Because Garrett and I go on like writing retreats. He's kind of like my co-writer on all of these. And then I have one song I wrote with a producer, Sam Garay. But
where do you go on these retreats?
We have a cabin we go to out in Spicewood or Branch or something. It's like a Airbnb. But yeah, we'll just go out there and
that's awesome.
Out there a couple times, and we'll just spend like 2 or 3 days and just wake up and write, and it's awesome.
Huh?
Yeah.
And this song drops on April 7th. And then is that Pershing show a release show?
Yeah.
So April 8th, you'll be playing at the Pershing. I love that place.
I've never played there.
I've never played there either, I don't think.
I went there for Ruby Dice. Had like a comedy show.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. It was really cool.
I like her. She's a dog person. I see her at the dog park. We hang.
She has two little puppies right now.
Oh, she does?
Yeah. She's looking for homes. They're really sweet.
The universe is telling you.
I know.
All right.
I know.
So I think of us as friends, and then the pandemic happened and I didn't see you again for a long time. Right? Mm-hmm. But you got married in that time?
I did.
And you're married?
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
What's that guy's story? What's he do?
So Andy actually moved down here with me. So we have been together and then, you know, broke up for a little while, but we're together since like 2012.
Oh, wow. So he moved from Cleveland.
With you. So we met in 2011 in Cleveland, and he was a bartender, and I was like singing at the club, and I dropped off my posters, and it was his first day bartending, and he didn't know how to make a margarita, and so I left. And then that weekend I played there, and I was like, ah, damn, he's kind of cute. And he took me on a date to a Dierks Bentley concert, and 3 months later we moved to Austin.
Wow.
Yeah. Just packed up our cars and left because he's 11 years older than me. So there's a kind of an age gap, obviously. But I was like, I want to move to Austin for music. Do you want to come? And he was like, okay.
What does he do now?
He actually just got a new job. He's a CNC machinist. So he's training to do like a trade. It's like cutting metal. That's all I really know.
A CNC machinist sounds like they work at CNC Music Factory.
I got
the power.
I got the power.
Isn't that CNC Music Factory?
Yeah.
So wait a minute. So Andy.
Yeah.
Okay. So you sent me an email last year. We've been trying to get together and do this for a while.
Oh, yeah. Since like Hollow. Wasn't there really?
Since Hollow. And you sent me a thing and it said like, I paraphrase it. I had a near-death experience and I have a whole new outlook on life.
Oh, my God.
So he was there for that too.
Oh, yeah. He was in the hospital with me every night. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he's a keeper, obviously. Yeah. He's been around since 2012.
I said to the other day, I'm like, God, I don't even know why he married me sometimes. But yeah, he's like, because I love you.
So. Well, also, like, that's one of those things because, you know, we're going to get into this. Mm-hmm. But you were fucked up.
Yeah, I was.
Okay, and you're with someone that's fucked up and your friends are like, dude, fucked up. They're never going to change.
Yeah.
And look at that. You proved him wrong, didn't you, Brittany?
Yeah, I did. And
that's
actually,
pretty awesome. That's really awesome, by the way.
Today is a special day.
What is today?
I am 9 months sober today.
All right, because I just saw your... I was creeping through your Instagram. I saw the six-month one from back in December. So 9 months today. Congratulations.
The 23rd, thank you.
Really?
Yeah, thank you.
All right, so what happened? How did we get to near... Because you and I, like...
I
think we got drunk. Yeah, I think we got drunk like on
your podcast. We did. Yeah. It was a blast.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it was a blast. So I'll tell you the story.
I didn't think of you, but I was going to say is I didn't think of you as a person with a problem.
I don't think a lot of people did.
No.
I think I really hit it sometimes. I mean, my like really close friends, Yeah, I mean, they knew there was some fucked up shit going on, but, you know, I was still a good time, and people like to have a good time. So,
yeah,
you know, I don't really know at what point that it got really bad, but it did. So last June, my mom was having brain surgery. So I flew back to Cleveland, and I'd say so that was June of 2022?
Yeah, I know, yeah, me too. Okay. Oh, that's how I am too.
So I'd say the fall before that, of 2021, I think I really started to like downward spiral and just got into some shit with some people, and
what the shit was?
I mean, just like drugs and
like coke and
I was doing a lot of coke. I was drinking a lot. I was making really bad decisions.
But listen, with doing a bunch of coke helps you drink longer.
It does.
That's one of those.
And it would sober me up.
It's a very horrible thing, but it does. Me up. Yeah, yeah.
You know? So, yeah. And I, you know, just making bad decisions. I was ruining relationships. I probably was not going to be married much longer. I was not in a good place. I wasn't doing good things. I'd black out and do really stupid things. And so I went home. I went back to Cleveland. My mom was having surgery. I honestly, like, I would get really fucked up on the plane. I'm sure a lot of people do. I love to have a drink on the plane. But, you know, I'd have like 5 or 6 or 10, you know. So I don't even really remember landing. But I went to the hospital. I think I had Chardonnay in my Yeti in the hospital. I don't fucking remember. But the whole trip, I was just, my mom, I didn't think my mom was going to make it. Fuck. I was trying to like keep my dad sane. My sister and I and my dad weren't really getting along at the time, which now everything's fine. But it was just really bad. And then the whole time I'm home, I'm like, I can't keep any food down. Like I couldn't eat. Every time I'd eat something, I'd throw up. My stomach was hurting. And I'm like, God, I'm just stressed. And then like I don't have like eczema or any like skin problems. But when I was home, like my whole face was like just red and just peeling. And it was awful. And I was like, okay, it's just stress. And so then, you know, we, you know, prayed for my mom. You know, my uncle's a pastor. He came, you know, we prayed for her, laid hands on her, and she ended up making it through. Praise God.
Oh, thank God.
And
yeah.
My dad still wanted me to stay, and I was like,
he wanted you to stay because he was like, I don't think she should go back to a
rehab place. Like he just really wanted, cause he was like alone. I was like cooking, cleaning, helping him out. Yeah. You know, we'd go to the bar and have Coors Light and vodkas at night. And you know, I just, me and my dad's a musician. We're pals, you know, he just didn't want to be alone.
Yeah.
And I was like, Dad, I really got to get back. I'm like, I work a part-time job. I cut hair. So I had,
oh, you do?
I do Mondays and Tuesdays. Yeah.
That's what you're doing on Mondays and Tuesdays?
I'm a barber. I own my own little place up north.
Yes. I don't have a person.
You don't?
Do you cut dudes' hairs like
that's
me?
That's all I do. I only cut men's hair.
Do you use the blade?
Yeah, I do. I do whatever you want. I can do blades, scissors.
All right, we'll work.
Hey, I'm about to book you a haircut.
You did. You just did.
Yeah, I just did.
Coming over here, I was just sitting there and I was looking at myself in the mirror just going like, at what point do I just like shave my head, find a wig I like, and just wear that all the time.
You have great hair. Don't ever shave your head.
Thank you. All right, so
but
go
I
ahead.
Own my little place. It's called Brittany's. Yeah.
Brittany's. Congratulations. Thanks. That's awesome. Yeah. All right, so go back to
going
you're
back.
There.
So I tell my dad, I'm like, no, I got to go home. I got to like pay my bills, you know, whatever. And so I come home. I don't even remember like my layover. I don't remember flying home. I drank a lot. And then Andy picked me up. And I guess I told him, like, I don't even want my luggage. Leave my luggage. I'll get it tomorrow. Like, I don't even remember.
You were in it, man. You were locked in.
I don't want it. I'll get it tomorrow. Okay. And so that's just where I was. And that's all right. And so, you know, obviously he got my luggage. I think I passed out in the car. I don't know. I don't remember. And so we went home and I guess I was telling him my stomach was hurting really, really bad. You know, for now a week, every time I ate, I'd throw up. And again, I thought it was stress.
Right.
And so it wasn't. So I woke up the next day and I was in like the most excruciating pain. I could barely get out of bed. I was throwing up. My whole body, like it was just like a pain I can't even describe. It was awful. Awful. And so I Ubered to the ER. And they told me that if I hadn't got there when I did, I would have been dead. I had severe pancreatitis.
Oh, shit.
Caused from alcohol.
Alcohol, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so They took me in an ambulance to Cedar Park Regional, and I was there for 16 days.
Ooh, fuck.
Mm-hmm. I was in ICU for a few days.
Do you have insurance and shit? I mean, do you have insurance and stuff? I mean, not to get all practical on you,
yeah,
but Jesus Christ.
I do, like, through the marketplace.
Okay, okay, good, good.
Have I paid any of my medical bills?
Look, those things, that's a whole, I mean, they're...
I mean, I got a pile on my
sure,
kitchen table.
I'm sorry about that, because that does make it tough. Like, yeah. You know, you're trying to rebound back, and to have this fucking monkey on your back would be really difficult.
Yeah.
Okay, so sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so I was there for 16 days, and I saw the doctor I was in ICU with just to have, like, a realistic view of all this. I saw him maybe, like, 2 months ago, and... He was just like, he was in ICU with me, the doctor, and I asked him, I was like, how close was I really, you know? And he was like, well, there was the first 48 hours, we did all we could, and all we could really count on was your body and what you would, how you would recover. Mm-hmm. There was nothing else we could do. And so thankfully I did. But yeah, I don't really remember a lot of it. I just remember being in, like, excruciating pain. I had to have, like, blood transfusions and all kinds
of
shit.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it was wild. I thought I was hungover and had the stomach flu. And little did I know, like, my body and my organs were, like, shutting down because
Jesus.
I just put myself through all this shit. But, you know, I'm grateful that it happened because clearly I needed to do something because I was just destroying my life.
So, like, at that point, when, like, were they like, hey, you had pancreatitis because you drink too much, and you're like, shit, I gotta stop drinking? Or was there actually, like, a, well, I mean, I can still kind of drink, right? Like, was there the negotiative aspect of it? Yeah,
I was like, so, like, a year?
Yeah.
But yeah, they, you know, I mean, honest, to be completely transparent, I mean, there's some days where I'm like, you know, I wonder if, like, you know, one would, you know, could I have won? But I just feel like God's given me, like, all these blessings and all these doors opening and opportunities. And if I were to drink again, they would just all be taken from me.
So at no point, not, I mean, you can also not answer whatever, but I know you're open about stuff. There was no point where Andy was like, hey, look, Brittany, like, come on, dude, you're killing me.
Like before this all happened?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, he didn't, I mean, or was he just cool or tolerant or, like,
I think he's always
resenting you?
Yeah, I think all of them.
Yeah.
We recently got a house renting. And I think, because I had to get out of my apartment complex, I'd been there 10 years. And so it's basically where I've lived this whole entire time. And so much has happened there that I was just like, with my new life, really, in sobriety, I was like, I got to get the fuck out of here. I can't really stay in this apartment complex. And we talked about it, and he was like, if you were still drinking, he was going to move back, I think, because there was just, it had gotten so bad that, I mean, I didn't even like myself, you know, and how can
if it's killing your body, then yeah. It's like, God knows what the hell you're doing to your relationships at that point. You know what I mean?
I mean, there really wasn't one, you know? I mean, I was like a functioning, high functioning alcoholic, really. And I just get fucked up and get work done, and then, you know, we never really had conversations. Yeah, it was just heavy, you know? And a lot of times, actually, thank God for Sims, by the way. I love my therapist.
That's a great thing to hear. Yeah.
Thank God for Sims.
Thank God for Sims.
Yes. So I've been seeing my therapist, Joanne, since 2018.
I bet Joanne was happy when you got sober.
Joanne is very happy. In fact, Joanne has moved my therapy to every other week because she thinks I'm doing so well.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. I was like, no, Joanne, I want to see you every week.
I have to tell you, and I don't, like, I'm feeling emotions coming up, honestly.
Yeah.
And I don't want to get weird and start, like, bawling on this thing.
Weird.
But I really care about you. And, like, I know from the first moment we ever met, I felt like we connected and we had, like, a bro.
Yeah, absolutely.
Breakdown.
I love you.
I love you too. And I'm really sorry that you went through that. I really am. I just
thanks. But it,
I will say, you were a lot of fun.
I know. I know. That's one thing that I really miss. But
that's what I told Bob Schneider, that same thing. I was like, I know that you saved your life, but
is
you
he
were pretty
sober,
fun.
Bob Schneider?
Oh, he's been sober since the mid 90s. It's like 95 or something like that. 94, 95. Yeah.
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 That's one thing where sometimes I'm like around, like, my, even some of my bandmates or some of my, Well, I don't really have like my party friends anymore, I'd say. I don't really hang out with them. But sometimes I'm like, am I boring? Am I boring now? That's one thing I've struggled with. But I don't know. Maybe I was just like really over the top and just like, you know.
Yeah. And the thing is like, you know, yeah, you're boring if someone's reading a book about your after show exploits.
Right.
Now, instead of like, you know, instead of hanging out until the next day at some person's house you don't know, some weird thing.
Like 6 in the morning.
Not knowing how you're going to get home and shit. I mean, we've all been there. It's weird. But there is something really nice about not being in those situations anymore.
Or being I remember a lot more.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't remember a lot of things. Like I was telling Joanne yesterday, I was like, I feel like it happens whenever I get close to like a milestone, like 9 months or 6 months, I'll like kind of scroll back through my phone and just look at all these videos and pictures. I'm like, oh my God.
Oh yeah.
You know? And I'm just like, some's cool, some's funny. And then I'm like, what the fuck was I doing?
I've gotten really good about like using my phone just to play jams I want to hear when I've been drinking, because you can start getting weird.
Yeah, there's some weird stuff on there. And I'm just like, geez. But yeah, it just reminds me, you know, I'm just super grateful to be here and went through what I went through to, you know, maybe it'll help somebody else, you know?
Yeah.
Because I've heard so many stories like when I was drinking and using and whatever. And I was like, God, I just really want what they have. You know, I just want that.
The clarity.
Yeah. Or that, you know, I have some sober friends and they were friends with me when I was drinking. And, you know, we talk all the time and I'd be like, God, all I want is to get sober. It's just, I just can't right now. It's just not, you know, it's not my time to get sober.
Yeah. Next week, man.
Next week. I'll try not.
I have
try
a busy week.
Yeah. I'd say that though. Yeah, I really would.
Sure.
Or I'd be like, oh man, I went like 3 days last week without drinking. So I'm good.
So you went days without it.
So I never drank when I sang. So that was kind of a really good,
oh, that's good. At least you didn't have to relearn how to perform.
I never played one show intoxicated.
Yeah.
I was always sober because I couldn't really sing if my voice was dried out and shit with all my notes and performing.
But then also, I mean, there's no, I know people with perfect pitch. I don't know how they do when they're drunk. And I'm a pretty good drunk singer, but I still like, you go back and hear stuff when you've been drinking, even just like 2 or 3 drinks. You're like, ooh. How did I not notice that I was just a little sharp on that?
I'm not a good drunk singer.
No, that's
good. I might have thought I was, but.
Yeah. So a lot of people feel like if I take this out of my life, then I won't be whatever Jim Morrison fucking thing dream is happening. Like I won't have my edge. Like, am I going to be some like lady like sewing backstage at the show? Like, where's my edge, man?
Right.
Did you, I mean, obviously your music, you're able to make music, you're able to do it, you're performing videos that I've seen, you're, you know, better than you've ever been.
Thanks.
Was there ever any kind of like, I don't know if I can do this?
Performing? No, because I never.
No, but I mean, the creative part.
Just like creative? Not really. All the songs that I've written for like my Brittany Lobis project, I've mainly done with Garrett and. Honestly, when Garrett and I started working together, it was never really about the party. When we started writing together in like 2020, he actually wasn't drinking that year. So when I was around him, I was like, we just like smoke weed or whatever. And that was really it. So there was never really like anything but the music, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so it's just always kind of been really easy like that.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's good.
Which I feel like I was lucky that way. And then just writing with different producers and things, which is new to me because I always wrote with a band.
Right.
I feel like it's definitely more business minded and it's like, okay, I'm here to work. So it was never really about like drinking and the party.
Right. Right. There was one thing that you wrote in the thing about being 6 months sober where you were talking about one of the things that you were grateful for was that you're able to feel your feelings. Do you feel like you're able to express those feelings in song more deeply than you could in Corbella or something?
Yeah. I feel like I can say whatever I want now because I don't really have to share the songs with 3 other people because they're all my songs.
Right, but I mean, you inside of you, like your own, being able to access what you're trying to say, do you feel like you're being more truthful now, or do you think you're as truthful as you ever were?
I think I'm pretty truthful, yeah. I feel like I'm just very emotional all the time, like in a good way.
Yeah.
Like I'll be like driving down the road and I'll hear a song and I'll just like start crying.
That's an amazing feeling.
I'm just like, that's an amazing feeling. Why am I crying right now? There's nothing to cry about, but I just like, I get overcome with all these emotions and all these feelings. Or I'll be at the gym and I'll feel that way. And then I'll just like start writing in my notes section, just shit, you know, and then I'll just put it into a song.
You should be grateful, man. People cut themselves and jump out of fucking airplanes to feel something. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Crazy.
To be able to drive down the street and have a song come on that you're not even paying for, you know, you're like, you're not even paying for some weird dominatrix to shit on you or something. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, some people really take shit out on themselves and because they can't feel.
I think, and I don't know if you feel this way, but for me, like, I feel like I've always just felt a lot, which is probably why I drank so much, was to not fucking feel stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm still trying to figure out why I'd like numb myself so much. It's still a mystery. I mean, not a total mystery, but I'm still trying to like figure out, like peel back all the layers and figure out what really made me drink so much and what made me not want to feel things.
It doesn't seem like it's some issue with your parents.
No, I think they drank a lot.
No, but I mean like some kind of like, they didn't love me or something weird happened and I wasn't able to overcome. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't really know. Still trying to figure it out. But
Barbara, right? Joanne, sorry.
Joanne. Yeah, Joanne, come on. I need to, Joanne.
Jolene. We played that the other night.
You did?
Yeah. Well, there was something where, like, you know, when you're in a party band and you play private events, there's always like someone's aunt does an amazing rendition of Mercedes Benz by fucking Janis Joplin or something, right? Usually the aunt is no good.
And
the groom wants to play drums on Tickets to Paradise by Eddie Money. I'm saying real things that have happened. And he's just no good. And then we played this birthday party and the lady's like, the guy was like, what's a surprise for my wife? And our daughter is like in the high school for the performing arts and she does a real good Jolene. And so we're like, oh, at least she's in the high school for the performing arts. So we learned the song or whatever. We're on stage. I saw some pictures of the party and the whole band is like, like just jaw dropping.
She's great.
This girl just sang her ass off. Like nobody's business. Like she wrote it. Like
damn.
it was pretty, it was like she did to Jolene what Whitney Houston did to I Will Always Love You. You know what I mean?
Is there a version, is like, there a copy of that somewhere?
I don't know. I'm sure on everybody's phone. I think I tried to video some stuff on stage, but I was too busy playing.
Wow.
Sometimes you have to play.
That's a great surprise.
Yeah. Where was I going with that?
Joanne.
Oh, because you sang Joanne.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought there was a bigger point I was trying to make with that. Yeah. Well, you never know.
Maybe it'll come back.
I see you're getting out and playing some shows. You're going to play White Oak Music Hall in Houston.
Yes, I am.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah, I'm opening for Houston band Forever Miles. They're dropping an album. They're releasing an album. And so we're going to open up the night for them.
Nice. Yeah. What kind of band are they?
They're kind of funky rock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you have a booking agent? Like, how are you doing these gigs? You know the guy from the band or what?
Yeah. So I know the guy who who is the lead singer of that band.
Okay.
I used to play with them when I was in Corbella.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I'm just trying to book my own stuff, I guess. But I'm really excited about this show on Cinco de Mayo. They're coming.
Yes.
Swan Dive. So they're on that bill.
Oh, so you did a show trade.
A show trade.
I love that. That's old school.
But it is.
Yeah.
But here's something really cool I'm really, 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 really excited about. So there's a band from my hometown called the Vindies, and they're from Youngstown, which is like right next to Cleveland.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're show trading, so they're going to come down and hop on that bill, and then I'm going to go back to my hometown and play a show this fall, which I'm really excited about.
That's great.
I have not played a hometown show in 11 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And I love my hometown. I'm proud to be from there. I miss it. I've just been out of the scene. The
Grog Shop is there.
Yeah.
That was my jam when I would play there. I love that place.
Yeah. I never played there.
Never?
Mm-mm.
There's a record store up the street from there that I love. There's like a thing. Like, I get so excited going to Cleveland.
That's such a cool
part
of town.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we got to get sound check done so I can go buy a record up the street. Come on, man.
Rock and roll.
And I love, Cleveland is a rock and roll town.
Mm-hmm.
You go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame ever?
Yeah, I used to. I used to live like 10 minutes from it. I played there once.
You did?
Mm-hmm. It was the
exciting
Women Who Rock exhibit. It was so cool.
That's awesome.
I got to play a show and then I got to like tour the exhibits and got lit. mean, I did.
I had a couple. It was great. I had a couple of really good experiences there.
You did?
Yep. The last time I was there was like 5 years ago with my band, and one of our guys is super into the Beatles.
Oh, nice.
And he was like, he's just staring at Ringo's drum set that's there, like just wouldn't stop. Like it was kind of freaky, and we were just kind of like, let this guy have his time. So we walk around the corner, and an alarm goes off, and the thing comes out like, nobody move. Someone like broke into something, and all of us were like, shit. Was him. He's taking the drums. We thought we were going to see him running through with like the kick drum.
What was it?
I don't know. They just never told us. It wasn't him.
Damn.
That's
too bad.
All we really cared about.
He took Ringo's drum set.
I love it up there. Yeah. What's that? We played in a very rich person's backyard in Chagrin Falls.
Chagrin Falls.
Or Chagrin. Because it's Chagrin?
Chagrin.
Okay, because mm-hmm. someone correct, like Chagrin is like, you know.
No, it's Chagrin for okay. sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chagrin Falls.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Great parties there. Rich people there, I'll tell you that. These, I mean.
Yeah, I don't think I ever hung out there.
What kind of, like, sometimes you go, like, do you do private stuff?
Yeah.
When you go to these places, like, you go to someone's house, you're like, who has the money to, like, fly a band from Austin? Like, you guys don't have a fucking 70s and 80s band in Cleveland?
Yeah.
You could have gotten, that's so weird.
It is weird.
I mean, I'm grateful.
Mm-hmm.
But it is weird.
I kind of have a funny story.
Yeah.
Me and Garrett have like a duo called the Petticoat Five, where we do like song swapping and originals, covers, whatever. But we were playing at this little Italian restaurant off 360. And then these guys walked in one night. This was like a last fall. And they were like, we were on a break, and they were like, what are you guys doing after this? And we were like, nothing, man. They're like, why don't you guys come play? Come play at our house. And we were like, all right, just give us your number. So I was like, are you sure we should go? I mean, it could end up in two ways. We could either end up in like a ditch
dead.
Or it could be fucking awesome.
So
we go, and it's in the Westlake Hills, and they have a fucking house on the lake, and we played on their huge dock. And it was awesome.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah. And they paid us really well. And I was like, fucking only played like an hour. And then they had us back like a month later.
That's rad.
Yeah. I was like,
I love
hey,
stories
man.
Like that.
Yeah.
Man.
I was like, hey, sure, we'll come play for an hour.
Well, you know, I feel like, I mean, I haven't seen you performing your new music. Well, how do you do this? Do you do a band or something? Are you
for
like
that?
Are you like Primo and like Dossie and all these guys with just like
for my live show? For my Brittany Lobos show?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I have a full band. So I have drums, bass, guitar, keys.
How do you reconcile sonically what you've recorded that definitely sounds like
pop?
Not a band.
So I was using tracks for Be the One, to be honest. Okay. And
you don't.
I didn't like it. And so we kind of took Be the One, which is like really poppy with the strings, and just made it rock and roll. And I love it.
You do? I want to see it, because sometimes I do have a little bit like if you've seen it happen. Mm-hmm. Like there's a hip hop artist mm-hmm. that does some great fucking tune, and then you go see him live and they're playing with a band, and it kind of like all the neato stuff about the recording that mm-hmm. was non-band, like
right.
Sometimes you're like, oh, it just sounds like a band now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's hard to make that.
It is.
Yeah.
And I think we've tried different versions of it. And I think.
I bet you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah. See what you're comfortable with.
And I think there's still some songs we're trying to like massage into what is going to be the right thing. But.
How many pieces then do you have? Drums, bass, guitar, and keys?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. And then on at my release show, I'm going to have a backup singer, which is something new for me.
Who is that? Someone
Sydney,
we know?
Well, Sydney Burris. So her and her husband are opening the night. They're in Goons. And her husband is my guitar player.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. And they like do kind of like the Dossie Primo thing. They play the tracks. They're a two-piece. Yeah. But their songs are all like bangers. They're great.
Sorry. Dossie and Primo are great friends of mine, but we're talking about them like they invented playing the tracks.
Yeah, you're right.
You know the way that Dossie and Primo...
The Dossie Primo thing, you know.
I just saw Kevin for the first time.
Really?
Yeah. It was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
You know what I love is I work with them. I mean, I've done shit with Primo live, but Dossie and MC sang backup for me.
Oh, that's awesome.
At a bunch of shows. They're so tall.
Yeah.
That one of the dudes that played bass for me was like, hey man, like if you could find a way to position these people where they don't block me, like people are like, hey, I didn't even see you playing back there.
Oh,
They're so tall. Yeah. When I went to go see them, I was talking to all three of them, and I felt like this. Like, hey, listen.
that was really good.
I really like Kevin, and I want to get you guys on the podcast. Do you feel like pop is marginalized here? I don't hear that as much as I did before. There's a lot of squeaky wheel, like, hey, people aren't paying enough attention to pop here. And I'm like, well, this isn't a pop town.
Yeah.
It's not your fault. It's not their fault. Just do your thing.
I don't think it's a pop town.
No.
Mm-mm. I don't think that's why. I always really loved pop, but yeah, I agree with you.
It was tough even like in the 90s, my band was pop with guitars and stuff and rock and roll, but it like there was no blues or Americana thing in it that there wasn't, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Where you do get kind of like, I don't know what to do with this because we like this certain thing here, which isn't bad. I mean, it's what it's known for. It's like going to like moving to Nashville, getting pissed off that the EDM scene isn't amazing. You know what I mean?
Yes, that is. That's a good comparison for sure. I think there's a cool little pop scene here, though.
I think there is.
I think it's small, but I think it's cool.
Well, the thing is that also like it, the culture here is like bars.
Right. Right.
Bars is like pop and R&B are way too classy and too expensive to pull off production wise to stick it in
a bar.
In a bar.
Yeah.
Agreed. Nothing against bars.
Right.
Nothing against anything.
Right.
Just like it's kind of like peanut butter and onions or something. You know what I mean? It's just something that doesn't really make a lot of sense.
It sounds so gross.
Doesn't that sound gross?
It sounds so gross.
So,
and I like both, but. Yeah.
Do you feel like if you lived in a different town, like if you lived in like New York or LA or Chicago, you would focus more on trying to make the tracks work and get dancers and stuff?
I don't know. That's a good question. I really don't know.
The other thing too is it's really fucking expensive to have a band. It's expensive to play a gig with a band with
it's
professional
musicians.
It's
expensive to record. It's expensive to do all of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It really is. I want all my songs out, but
I know.
But yeah, I think like building a team around you with people who have like specialties in different things too is important.
Yeah. I like that you came back though from this whole life-changing experience, which also, I guess, to people on the outside was just also wrapped up in COVID as well. Like, there you were playing a show like in 2019 with Corbella, and then...
And I felt like things were really going well with Corbella. I was really proud of that band. So it was a really big bummer when things kind of fell apart. But I feel like doing the solo thing is probably what I should have done all along, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I, after Nomad City, after Corbella, I was like, I don't really have the energy or the money because I had some help with things for Nomad City, like with music videos and the record. And I was just like, I don't really have the time or the money to start something new. So I just really wanted to invest in just Brittany Lopez because why not?
You probably should have been doing it. Yeah. Nothing against anybody that you played with or the music that you made.
Which is
then.
Crazy because when I first moved down here 10 years ago, I started as Brittany Lopez, and then I was like, no, I need a band. So then I was Brittany Lopez in Red Coral, and then I was Nomad City, and then I was Corbella, and now
Brittany
I'm
Lopez.
Just back to what I started as, which is crazy, but maybe not so crazy.
No.
Maybe it should have been all along, you know?
Do you wonder with all the shit that you've been through then in the last few years, like, is there some reason why I was sent on this journey?
Yeah. I'm like, dude, I've been like soul searching and like reflecting like fucking crazy the last few days. Like, I don't know. I don't know if it's just because it's like, you know, I knew the 23rd always gets me because I just remember everything that happened, which I do want to add something to the whole story. So the Hollow song, I just want to touch on that. I had wrote that song in the beginning of my like downward spiral. And I tabled it and decided to not finish it for whatever reason. And then I'd say maybe like a couple months before I went in the hospital, I finished it and sent it off to get mixed or whatever. And then got it back kind of when I got out of the hospital. And then I listened to it and it was like, I don't know. It was just, I just like started sobbing because if you listen to the words, it's basically like a premonition. Like I was basically telling myself like,
look out, this is coming, dude.
Yeah, I was just filling up this hollow part of myself. And I remember I was like searching and I was in such a dark place. And, you know, we wrote that song or at least started it when we were on our writing retreat. But yeah, it's just crazy how things kind of become full circle, I think. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I just had to say that.
Yeah. So you're still searching for meaning in your journey.
Yeah. Where the right, you know, yeah. Yeah, I think, I am.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you've got Reverent Few are playing with you at the parish as well, right?
Yes.
Okay. And Swan Dive, that's with the band from Houston. What are they called again?
Forever Miles.
Forever
Actually,
Miles.
There's a five bands on that bill on Cinco de Mayo. Five
really?
Bands. Yeah.
What day of the week is that?
It's a Friday.
Oh, shit. I won't be here.
Yeah.
But I think I won't be. Oh, no. I'll be in Houston on May 19th.
Stop it.
Yep. That's my grandma's 100th birthday.
Oh,
and we're having a giant party for her the next day.
Your grandmother's going to be 100 yeah. years old?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Wow.
She's still drinking.
I mean, hey, good for her. Hey, when you're 100 years old,
she quit smoking when she was like
60. You can do whatever the hell you want when you're 100 years old.
Yeah.
That's
no, you can't. That's another thing that yeah, she's like, people are always like, man, I want to do what your grandma does. I'm like, you should probably talk to my grandma because someday she's like, I'm glad I get to be around you guys, but this has got to end at some point soon because this has gone on way too long.
God. That's incredible.
Yeah, it is incredible.
That's incredible.
Really lucky to have had her that. She and I are extremely close. Like, I spent a lot of time with her, so.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I'm there a lot. And luckily, Skyrocket.
What's her name?
Works, her name's Olga Antonetti.
Wow.
I call her Abita because I couldn't say Abuelita when I was a kid.
What nationality are you?
Cuban.
Are you really?
Yep.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
What are you Mexican?
Honduran.
Honduran.
And my mom's Honduran and my dad's Russian.
Oh. Wow.
I know. Big drinkers.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. I don't know what the
My
Honduran...
dad likes the vodka.
Oh yeah.
Well, which okay, this is huge. So my dad's a musician.
Yeah.
His whole life.
Yeah.
They've come down to visit me a lot.
Yeah.
But the last time they saw me play was 2014 at the Roost. Do you remember the Roost?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're coming down for the Pershing show.
Oh,
They're
shit.
Flying in. So it's like a huge deal. I'm like going to cry about it. Yeah. I'm so excited. I cannot wait.
Wow.
It's a huge deal. And I haven't told anybody, but I asked my dad to play a song with me.
Oh, that's killer.
Mm-hmm. When the night before I moved to Austin in 2012, me and my dad were like up till 2 o'clock in the morning, which is crazy because I left at like 7 a.m. to drive across the country. But we wrote a song together called You Gotta Run, which is out on all streaming platforms. But it's just him and me. It's acoustic.
Oh,
but
nice.
I asked him to play it with me.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Yeah. We'll see if he does. I'm sure he will. He's like, I don't know. I gotta see how I feel.
What did he do? He was like a rock guy?
My dad,
like,
yeah.
Like classic rock kind of?
Yeah. Like James Taylor... Neil Young,
right.
Beatles. Yeah, he played all that. But he has his own stuff too. He's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Does he still play?
He does, yeah.
Wow. Does he play the grog shop?
No. Mm-mm.
Is that like a hip place to play?
It is, yeah.
It's weird because it's from out of town. You don't even know where you're going.
No, it's a hip place for sure. I'm trying to think what else. I don't even think Peabody's is around anymore. I haven't been like in that scene in so long.
There was a show I did opening for somebody there that wasn't at Grog. Because I played Grog
Agora?
Like 4 or 5 times. No.
Beachland Ballroom.
Mm-hmm.
That's
exactly
hip, too.
Right.
That's a cool spot, too, yeah.
No cool record store that I found near there.
No.
No, I remember being sad. Like, this place sucks compared to Grog Shop. The record store isn't up the street. And so you're going there to play your first show. Your parents are coming down here to do. This is just a magical time.
Yeah, it's going to be a really amazing night. It's going to be really special.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it.
People can find you at BrittanyLobus.com.
Yeah.
And Brittany is spelled like B-R-I-T-N-Y.
Yeah.
You know Brittany Fox?
Yeah.
You know who that is?
I don't.
Is that a person or a band?
I don't know.
It comes
I know
up
the
when,
name.
You, when you're
Brittany
typing
Fox.
Brittany into, before you put Lobus, Brittany Fox comes up, and I was like, ew, what's going on
Who's
there?
Brittany Fox?
I was too busy.
Lobus is way cool.
Making my way to you.
Lobus means she-wolf. It does.
Oh, that's weird. Isn't Fox some kind of wolf?
I guess.
Like Maybe you guys are related.
Maybe. Jeez, who knows?
Oh, Lobus.
Yeah, because Lobos.
Lobus,
mm-hmm, L-O-B-A-S, means female wolf.
Is that Russian? No.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I guess my dad's
How
name.
Russian is your dad? Like, were your grandparents, did they have accents?
I think his grandparents did.
Okay.
Yeah.
How Russian are you?
How Russian are you? Because
my parents moved here from Cuba, I'm first generation American.
Okay.
I'm the first.
I don't know what generation I am.
Yeah.
My grandma Fifi, yeah, who I was very, very close with, she has passed on, but she was born and raised in Honduras.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So she was fluent in Spanish, and yeah.
Nice. Are you? Mm-hmm. Do you speak Spanish?
No. A couple words. I wish I did. I think it's such a sexy language.
Would you do something like rewrite Marina in Spanish and release it like that?
I absolutely would.
I'd do that with you.
You would?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I speak Spanish.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
It's real. Oh my God.
I have a hard time translating things, but I want to keep on trying to do it because.
Let's do it. That'd be magical.
Yeah, we all write like in such an American language that there aren't actual translations for it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like if you say something's totally awesome, like it's kind of hard to put that in Spanish or something. You know what I mean? Now it sounds like I write songs with the phrase totally awesome in it. I don't. I was just trying to find a very American term. But yeah. No, I think that would be good.
Oh my God, that would be amazing.
Yeah, it'd be cool.
We're doing it.
All right, let's do it. You should do more stuff. Like, I don't know. It just seems like it would be fun.
I know it would be fun. We're doing it.
Do you know Grace Sorensen?
I know of her. She's incredible.
She is incredible.
Yeah, I've never met her.
We worked on a song together.
Really?
That to me was really Spanish. Yeah, I don't think she's going to put it out though.
No. I've just seen her stuff online. I think I discovered her because she was working with Ronnie Hall, and he is my vocal coach.
Oh, okay.
So I think I like saw story. This was like a couple years ago, and I just been following her ever since. And she's doing some big stuff.
She was in the artist development program with Austin Music Foundation this last year, and I got to watch her, you know, record and, you know, I mean, just stacking these harmonies, coming up with them off the cuff in one take and just matching it in one take and then matching that. It was just kind of like,
damn,
I hate you.
Yeah.
Also, you're just like, I think she's 20 now, but she was like 19.
She's so young. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. She's a great, great artist. I like her. I was, I met her at the Pershing. I was hosting an event there for somebody, for James Robinson and somebody, and she was one of the artists on the thing.
Wow.
And I was blown away by her. And I thought she had been doing it for years. She had been playing on stage for like 4 months or something. It was her first band show.
Oh my God.
That's what it was. It was her first band show, yeah.
How exciting.
Yeah, she's great.
I wish I was that young again. 90.
Well.
20.
I know.
Actually,
but,
I don't. I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back there.
Yeah.
No.
No.
Now, if I could be that young and know what I know now.
There's no way.
I know. But if there was.
Yeah.
If there was.
That's the problem.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Well, I think you look great.
Thanks.
Yeah. You're always very beautiful and well put together. Not the mess that you have portrayed yourself to be.
Yeah.
Are you in a recovery thing now? Like, are you in a 12 step?
Do you know, I'm not, but I was actually talking about it yesterday. Joanne said, even though I'm not in the program, I'm still working the steps on my own. But I was going to hit a meeting tonight, get my 9-month chip. And every time I do go once in a while, and it's always like, God, it's just, it moves me. And it's really refreshing because just seeing other people and hearing other people's stories, it's just makes, I don't know, it's going to sound cliche. It makes me feel not alone, but it really does. It makes me, I don't know, like I'm just, it makes me grateful. It grounds me, you know? And so I like to go once in a while, but I do go to church and I have my faith. And
is that something that rekindled afterwards? Or?
I would say, yeah. I always, you know, I grew up singing in church back in Cleveland, and that's kind of where I started singing, honestly. And then when I was 15, I got kicked out of church. That's a whole other story. Actually, that's when I started drinking. So I think there's something kind of connected there, but we'll save that for
what do you
time.
Get what, like, if you don't mind my asking, what do you get out of it?
Church?
Yeah.
Peace.
Yeah.
I get peace.
Serenity.
Yeah, I go and I just, yeah, I just, I feel really good when I leave. And I've struggled with faith and church and God and a lot of things over the years because of, you know, saying I couldn't sing in church anymore when I was younger and I left for a long time, but
there can be some real ugly shit that happens in church.
And there was, and I was really hurt. But you know, I think you just got to find, I go for me, for God, for the worship, for the music.
Yeah.
And honestly, sometimes the sermons I daydream, but sometimes they really hit me and I get something out of it.
It's a matter of the practice of going there and having exactly. that meditation time.
Yeah.
To sort of like reflect. I mean, that's what it's set up
yeah.
for.
Yeah. So you it's, know? I've definitely been going more regularly. Yeah. I really can't say that word.
But what is it? Is it like a Catholic?
No, it's just Christian.
Just Christian?
Just non-denominational, yeah.
That's the other thing is like...
And the pastor is from my hometown, which is crazy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Crazy. Cleveland.
I like Youngstown. I've hung out in Youngstown.
Have you?
Yeah.
Cool.
I had a girlfriend from there.
Really?
Yeah.
Was she awesome?
Oh, yeah. She's still awesome.
Yeah, Ohio's got the goods.
Ohio's got the goods, yeah. Yeah, she's fantastic. In fact, she moved here. She moved back here, her and her sister, and we hung out a couple times because they have dogs and I have Rosie and stuff. And then their dad got sick. Luckily, he got out of it, but they just moved. Like, they hightailed. They were like, our dad's not going to be sick without us being there by his side. Yeah. Good people.
Yeah.
Yeah. The parents went very, very right. And very Youngstown voting wise,
right?
But they
sounds
still,
about
we,
right.
we still get along, so it's good.
That is good.
Yeah, Brittany, I'm really happy for you, and I'm really
Thanks.
Proud of you, man. The music that you're putting out is fantastic.
Thank you.
And
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I hope to make it to one. I'm going to see if that May 19th thing. I don't. My grandma's 100th birthday. There might be like that night. Might be, you know. It's all Latin women.
It might
be crying yeah. women screaming. I mean, what do you mean you're going to a show?
What do you mean?
It's
you
your 100th birthday tomorrow. We have a taco truck coming. Which, by the way, all of that is true.
I'll accept that. I love it.
Well, I'm really happy for you. I'm very proud of you, and I'm glad to see you thriving.
Thank you.
All right. Everyone check out this single, Marina, drops on the 7th. Am I allowed to play?
Yeah.
I mean, I'll play it in pieces so no one can steal it.
Yeah.
All right, so the song you'll be hearing is actually Marina, which comes out on April 7th, and her show, the release show at the Pershing, April 8th. First time your parents are seeing you play
yes.
in 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
Good Lord.
Yeah, it's going to be a good night. It's yeah. going to be amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Tell Andy and Joanna I said hi, and
I
they're
will.
Doing a great job.
Thanks,
All right. Say, Marina, you're walking. That was Brittany Lovas. Check out her singles, Hollow and Be the One, available now wherever you stream music. And her fantastic single, Marina, drops April 7th. And she is celebrating with the show April 8th at Pershing. That's Saturday, April 8th at Pershing, Austin. Go to BrittanyLovas.com for all of your Brittany Lovas needs. I am really happy that my friend made it through that difficult time. And she is now thriving in this world. So congratulations, Brittany. I love you. Gang, don't forget when you're out there checking out BrittanyLovas.com. I told you, go like our Facebook page. Go like our Facebook page now. How did I get here? Like it. Get involved. Leave a comment. Say something. Say something like, Brittany, you're cool. Johnny, shut up. Whatever. Just do it. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at Johnny Gowdy. You can subscribe to this podcast wherever it is you find podcasts, be it Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Overcast, Stitcher, anywhere. New shows every Tuesday and every Friday, sometimes from the vault, Saturday nights. Follow us. Subscribe. You'll get alerts when new shows come out. Here's the rest of Britney's beautiful song, Marina. Let's get down. Marina, you're making a fool out of me. Now listen. You make me feel like I'm nothing. And you make me feel like I'm something.